Hallelujah. I always forget to hit record. Anyway, this is the most significant day, or we celebrate the most significant event in the history of mankind.
Amen.
One third of the world, one third of the earth's population celebrates this day. That's how monumental it was. One third of the world. We came on our way to church today, Pastor Lori and I, and we passed a Catholic church, okay? And there will be many Catholics in heaven.
Amen.
I guarantee you that. And it was full to overflowing.
Amen.
They were parking on the sides of the road. People that don't go to church will come to church today because they know there's something significant about this day. And so today, I'm going to share with you the gospel. The gospel. The gospel, which is the power of God for salvation. What's the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to start reading a portion of scripture for you from the book of Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 through 19. Very significant portion of scripture. If I was to ask you, what was the most important aspect of what Jesus went through? Was it his beatings? Was it the nails? Was it the spikes? Was it the crucifixion? Amen. Amen. Was it the burial? It was the resurrection. Because if there was no resurrection, listen what Paul says. Wherefore, henceforth. Oh no, this is scripture before that scripture. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 19. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, we know him no more that way. We only know him in his resurrected body and self. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, our new creature, our new creation. Old things are passed away. The old order is gone. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God, this is beautiful, this is very important. This is why we have the ministry of reconciliation. I want to first start off by saying that. It's our responsibility. That's our only responsibility, to reconcile, to bring reconciliation, to be ambassadors of reconciliation. Because listen to what Paul says. God was in Christ, okay? God was in Christ, reconciling the entire world unto himself. Not a specific few, not a specific group, but the entire world to himself. This is very important. If he's reconciling, right, the entire world, when he makes this statement, not imputing their sins or their trespasses unto them. Is he still talking about the entire world? According to this portion of scripture, yes, he is. Okay? Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We have to let them know that Christ, that God through Christ had brought about the reconciliation. We have to let them know that in Christ, the sins of the world, the whole world, were forgiven. The whole world, their sins were buried. We have to let them know that God has made reconciliation through the cross. Many are walking around not aware of that fact. And there is nothing they have to do to receive that reconciliation. There's no work. You see, that's what keeps people away from God. They think that there's a standard that they have to achieve. They think that there's a measure of holiness that they have to achieve, righteousness that they have to achieve in their own strength, in their own ability. That there's some type of performance needed before they can go to God and even receive the gift of his son and the reconciliation. This is why it's so important to understand what Paul says, where he doesn't see us after the flesh anymore. That's why it's so important for us to be ambassadors of reconciliation to the world. So we can let them know, just come. The Bible says, boldly come. Boldly come. Confidently come. Come as you are, just as you are. He loves you. He loves you. No, he's not angry with you. No, he's not mad at you. No, he's not ready to put forth his wrath on you. It's a message of reconciliation. My wife isn't always with me in the sanctuary. But she is, because all the children are out today. Family's visiting family. Other situations have arisen so that, you know, certain families couldn't make it today. So she's here. But one thing, when she's here, she smiles at me, and I don't, like, what's the smile mean? Is it good so far?
Good. Awesome.
Oh, okay, good. And now if I go someplace where she says, don't go, she'll go. Don't go there. So it's important to understand that. When you hear this message today, this is the message you bring to people. And you're going to see in this message, there is nothing that brings guilt, shame, or condemnation. Mm-hmm. Nor should the gospel of Christ ever bring guilt, shame, or condemnation to anyone that hears it and receives it. And if people were to know the truth, they wouldn't avoid God. They would not avoid God. They would come. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 7 through 10, another beautiful opening scripture. Did I say that Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7 and 10?
Yep.
Okay. Then I said, who's I? Jesus. Lo, I come. Because in the volume of the book, it has been written concerning me. So then I said, lo, I come. For what reason? To do, O God, your will. Saying above, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and concerning sin offerings. Are you listening to this? Thou did not want, nor did you take pleasure in them. It's not what God wanted. Which according to the law are offered. Very important. Laura, you hear that? When you feel you have to make sacrifices and offerings, you're reverting back to the law. Which he did not want, nor did he take pleasure in it. Then he said, lo, I come to do, O God, your will. He thus take away the first, that the second he may establish. In which will we are, having been sanctified. Now, I like this in the Young Literal Translation. Sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. So Young's Literal Translation is letting us know something that maybe some other translations doesn't. It was done once, forever, for all time, perpetual, continually, on that first day, through that second day, through that second month, through that second year, through our lifetime, sanctified once and for all. That is why, Pastor Lori, there is no sacrifice or offering on our part needed before God to bring about any of his blessings or any of his promises. Or to please him. Beautiful scriptures. So we're going to look at that will, the gospel, Jesus Christ, crucified. It says, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 and 12. But the Lord was pleased to crush him. As you hear that word crush, it means beat to pieces, break in pieces, bruised, crushed, destroyed, humiliated, oppressed, and smitten. The Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. When you hear that word grief, you need to know what it means. Made to become weak, made to become sick, made to become diseased. So the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. That's you and I. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. The good pleasure of the Lord, that's you and I. As a result of the anguish of his soul, as a result of the anguish, some versions say travail. As a result of the travail, the anguish of his soul. And that word means, okay, that word means work, labor, and toil. Okay? So as a result of his work, his labor, his toil, the Father would look upon his offering and his sacrifice, and he will be satisfied. Very important. The Father is satisfied by the Father's own sacrifice and offering. That indicates there's nothing we need to do to satisfy the Father. No sacrifice, no offering to satisfy the Father. He provided the sacrifice and offering that would satisfy him. As he will bear their iniquities, therefore I will not allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. My servant, my sacrifice, my offering, my righteous one will justify the many. Powerful, powerful. The only sacrifice, the only offering that is needed, that will ever be needed, is I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I believe he was risen from the dead. I believe he was risen from the dead. Hallelujah. That's the only thing the Father wants us to look at. That's the only thing the Father wants of us. Faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Faith in his offering. Faith in his sacrifice. Satisfied. The Father was satisfied by the work, effort, and toil of his Son. Hallelujah. So now we're going to go to the next part. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That talked about his death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Various verses. It's a long chapter, so I'm reading from verses 1 through 4, 13 through 14, 16 and 17, and verse 19. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. Do you hear that? As I read that, I hear Paul say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ, the gospel they received, the gospel he preached, for it is the power of God for salvation. Salvation, healing, wholeness, wellness, redemption, protection, deliverance. Wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also in vain. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, our faith is vain, and we are still in our sins. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, if in this life only his teachings, you know, affect us and make things better or help us carry on and get along, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. The resurrection, his death, his burial, the cross, his resurrection. His resurrection. When he died, we died. He made he who knew no sin to be sin. He made he who knew no sin to be sin. Hallelujah. He was buried. But on the third day, he rose from the dead. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it tells us this. Who was delivered up because of our transgressions. Who was delivered up because of our sins. That's why Jesus went to the cross. But this is why he was raised. And was raised up because of our being declared righteous. You see, I know that one third of the world are celebrating Resurrection Sunday. But I know that the fullness of that one third of the world, they are not celebrating their righteousness. It's a dual celebration day. Christ rose from the dead, and the Father declared us righteous. The full acquittal from God, the full approval from God, right standing before God, fully qualified before God for all his promises, yes and amen, and fully at peace with God because of our being declared righteous by God. Our sins resulted in his death. His resurrection is proof of our righteousness. Do you understand that? His resurrection is proof of our righteousness. Here's the question. Oh, here's the equation. He was handed over because of our short failings, because of our sin. He was raised because we were declared righteous. His resurrection is the official receipt to our acquittal. Oh, praise you, Jesus. This is one of the most important statements in the entire Bible. His cross equals our sins. His resurrection equals our innocence. His cross equaled our sins. His resurrection equals our innocence. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Having been therefore declared righteous by faith in Jesus, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you think about the gospel. Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin with our sins. He suffered. He was beaten. He was broken. He was crucified. The most gruesome death known to man. And he was buried. But he was an innocent man. He was a righteous man. Therefore, 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. And when he raised him from the dead, that was God saying, I accept the sacrifice and I accept the offering and I declare the many righteous through my righteous servant. That's what Easter Sunday is. And today, because of belief in Jesus Christ, because of faith and believing in Jesus Christ, we are at peace with God. We are at peace with God. We have his full approval. We're in right standing. We're at peace with him. We're fully qualified for all of his blessings. Healing, wholeness, wellness, protection, provision, deliverance, redemption. That's the power of the gospel. And when you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you make confession with your tongue unto salvation that he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, you are saved. And when Pastor Lenny says you are saved, if you're hearing this message for the first time, saved doesn't just mean your sins are forgiven. Saved means you're forgiven and you're healed. You need a healing. You receive salvation. Your sins are forgiven and your body is healed at the same time, at the same day, at the same moment. You receive the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit at the same time, at the same moment. That's the power of the gospel of Christ. That's God's power for salvation. We don't compartmentalize it. We don't say today you have understanding of your sins being forgiven. And now, sometime in the future, we'll give you some understanding of the fact that you've been healed. And then after that, sometimes we'll give you some understanding of the fact that you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. No, it takes place on day one. And that's how we preach the gospel. And that's the power of God for salvation. That's the gospel of Christ. Religion has tainted that. Religion has filled our minds with inconsistencies. Religion doesn't preach the whole power of the gospel. When Paul preached his gospel in all of his epistles, they never had a healing service. Never. You want to know why? When he preached his gospel, the gospel of Christ, the power of God for salvation, they were saved. Period. All the finished works of Jesus Christ operating all at once, because that's the only gospel they heard, the fullness of the gospel of Christ. I love Easter. I can't think of not being here. In fact, you know what? I've never missed an Easter service since 1977. I can't think of not only making it on Easter, but I can't think of not being here on any Sunday. I just can't. There's just something special. I love getting hugs. I love giving hugs. I love the warm embraces. I love the corporate worship. There's nothing that could replace that. There's nothing. I don't know why, but Sunday mornings, especially Easter Sundays, has just become so special to me. Nothing can keep me out. Nothing can keep me away. I just think that's the Holy Spirit within me, driving me. Do you remember before I knew the revelation of grace? Before I understood by his stripes I was healed? Right? That he healed them all? Do you remember I had my back surgery? Remember? I was released on a Thursday. I was told to rest for 2 weeks. Couldn't keep me away, Dan. That Sunday morning, Friday, Saturday, 3 days later, it was Easter Sunday. I stood in front of everybody leading song and leading worship because I was the song leader. nothing could keep me away. And then before this revelation, I was the surgery king, you know, right? Remember I had the vertebrae in my neck fused and a plate was put there. And again, I was released on a Thursday or a Friday. I don't know why it was always a Thursday and Friday. They didn't want to keep you there for the weekend, right? You know, get rest, get rest, get rest. No. I had to be in church. There's just something in me that I have to be there. I want to be there. I want to see all my friends. I want to see, you know, all my family in Christ. I want to see them. I want to be with them. And then even through the victory walk through cancer, I think now I know it's why God gave me the word he gave me. I know I've shared that word. He said, number one, he said, you will live and you will not die. And now I know, Pastor Lori, because I had capable people. I had Rick Oscom. I had other people in the church that could. I had Gary and Evelyn Sherman, right? They were more than competent, right?
Yeah.
In fact, Lori would call them up and say, he ain't coming in today. He's not going to make it today. But you see, here's the second word Jesus gave to me. You will not miss a Sunday. Lenny, I know how important it is for you to be there with everyone. I know how special it is for you. And guess what? Dan, I didn't miss a Sunday. Mm-hmm. I was there. Resurrection Sunday. Oh, man, where we get to worship him and praise him together as one, as family. Bringing praise, honor, and glory to his only sacrifice, to his only offering. Righteous, salvation because of Jesus. Because he lives, I live. I give him all the praise and honor and glory. So I pray that this message of celebration for Easter Sunday, death, burial, resurrection has blessed you. And if those out there might have stumbled across this message, just believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess him as Lord and Savior. You're saved. You're saved. No hoops to jump through. You're saved. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name.